There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for joining. As always, today's episode, we have a pretty interesting one. We're going to be talking about technology in the game of golf, innovation, technology, disruption, Silicon Valley. These are some of the themes of today's episode, all right?
Technology.
Yeah, technology, paradigm,
a new paradigm. A new shift in golf technology.
Shifts. Silicon Valley, Steve Jobs,
AI.
Burger we are here King. To tell you that when Bryson DeChambeau tells you to buy a certain pair of shoes that makes you 10 yards longer.
Squares.
Probably bullshit.
ChatGPT.
But
so
there are some things that actually might make sense.
Algorithms, machine learning. So
here's the thing. I've tried all of them, so yeah, I can tell you what's Jordan's real and what's not.
What else is there out there, man? There's a lot of things. You know what I mean? You got like
the wolf pack.
Yeah. The wolf pack. You got training aids. When it comes to technology, though, technology has changed the game of golf. There's no question about that. Number one. Now we're talking about this in more of a macro context here. Them boys are moving the golf ball today. I'll tell you that much. The boys and the girls are hitting the ball. Real far. Okay. And some of that's driven by the golf ball, advancements in the golf ball. Some of that's driven by driver technology. But I'm going to get into one here to just kick us off here that's actually, I think, changed golf the most of any technological innovations. And that is 3D, three-dimensional swing analysis. What three-dimensional swing analysis, which is a relatively new advent, if you will, somebody disrupted the marketplace and created that innovation. What it does is it stops us from looking at the golf swing in a two-dimensional manner and has therefore debunked probably 50 years of instruction. So a lot of conventional golf instruction, right? Hold the lag, right? Lots of things that you might hear somebody that doesn't use video and doesn't use 3D. Very few use 3D nowadays, because in 3D, you can see from the golfer's point of view what's transpiring in the golf swing in relation to other body parts, right? So, for example, give you an example here. A lot of people talk about shaft lean in the golf swing, right?
Yep.
And so for years and years and years, instructors talked about hold the lag, hold the angle, get your hands out in front. Did you know that when you deliver the golf club with shaft lean, you actually deliver the golf club right, relative to your body of where the golf club is at address?
Interesting.
Okay. So that's why they say tour impact happens on the trail side is kind of a new saying in golf instruction. It happens on the trail side. When you can study things in three-dimensional perspective, a lot of things change. So if you're somebody who's trying to hold the lag and get the hands out in front of the body, you actually end up having no shaft lean because you have to dump it at the bottom. So anyway.
Hold on. Yep. This is the hottest start to a podcast since our first one with Mr. Chad Hartman, where he just went.
Yeah, I went off.
So I want to take a line from the four-year-old version and Kevin Hart and say, you're using a lot of big words there, and I'm going to take that as disrespect.
When it comes to
I'm going to take that as disrespect. Yeah. But essentially what you're saying is that
AI.
Now, I'm saying now that 90% of golf instruction.
Hold on, let me try and. Now with new technology, the way that instructors and we are able to really understand the golf swing has changed so much over the years that now we're able to make more sense of it. And we are able to change the way that people swing, which has led to power the way it's really 100%. Understanding.
And I would say that not 90% of conventional golf instruction, right? So think about probably 6 years ago. is hot garbage.
And when you're
maybe
talking
a little bit more than six, but yeah, like basically the advent of like TrackMan.
There are probably
TrackMan, because I think Launch Monitors is another one, but three-dimensional golf analysis. If you want to learn more about this, we can move off of it. YouTube, Athletic Motion Golf. I think we should have them on. They'd be amazing guests. Nails. They study the golf swing in 3D, and it's fascinating the stuff that they're doing. Real breakthrough technologies. But
I want to know more, because I think I'm visualizing what you're talking about. And is it where they're basically having like the points of motion and they show like a character that's moving? Yeah. Okay.
Like, gotcha. Gears technology.
Gears technology. Yep. Yeah. Okay. 3D. Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's been massive, 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 massive.
I actually love that. And we should reach out to them to see.
I think we should.
I mean, we have a global audience. So,
now that I've been prosecuted, I yield the floor.
I'm going to take it somewhere.
My co-counsel Tony here.
Let's go.
I actually love that. I'm not going to lie. I was trying to make sense of it in my head. And I think I understood exactly what you were saying.
It was a smart take. Really.
Very honestly. Smart take.
The actual take was innovative within the innovative episode. So
yeah. And just the way you presented it, Barry, I believed every word you said. Yeah. Did you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hit me with stats. Could write an amazing sales pitch.
I yield the floor to my co-counsel, Tony. Tony. Sir,
I mean, I like golf tees.
Them plastic tees. You don't have to keep buying wood ones.
The ones with the brush. The ones with the brush that make it the same height. The thing about
it is, it's one tee, and you can use it over and over and over and over again.
And then you can get the martini tee, and you can pour yourself a little drink out there too.
All right, co-counsel.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, that was
where
deep.
Do you go
that
from
was
there?
Real deep, yeah. Andy.
Dude,
I mean, seriously,
the kid opens up with oh yeah, I haven't done much, I just went and played, you know, one of the best golf courses in the world.
That was
and
a different episode. That
was a different episode.
I know. Nice. Good, and then good, and then this episode game, and then this episode match, this episode Andy opens up with that, and we're supposed to follow up with this. It's tough. It's tough out here for amateur podcasters like us.
It was deep. I like it. I'm going to go a little bit something more simple. But when you talk about technology in the course over the course of the history of golf, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years. But within the last 20 years, 25 years, the biggest change, bar none, has been the golf ball.
Yeah,
solid core golf ball. I think. When, you know, what year was it that Tiger switched to the solid core golf ball? And
2000
absolutely had an unbelievable advantage against everybody else on the field. Johnny, previously you had asked about, you know, some technology or a tool that, spins the golf ball. So you can find like the,
sweet spot
of the golf ball. That's called the product is called a Check Go. And that was really designed as a tool to be used with wound golf balls. Because historically speaking, wound golf balls would be maybe a little bit out of center, or earlier in the history of solid core golf balls, the technology was not really quite there where the center of the golf ball may be off center in the inside of the ball. So it would be able to find if there was a more centered golf ball. That's where that really came from.
That makes sense. Okay.
As golf balls have become and gotten more and more technology put into them, they have become exponentially more technologically advanced. In addition, so much so that the governing bodies of golf are trying to limit the way that the golf ball can fly. So I think if that's what they're going after, that really, to me, says that holds the most value. It's also the tool or the one thing that you use on every single golf shot.
I was just going to say, you made such a good point too, because I think when I first heard the roll back the golf ball thing, my first thought was, why not roll back like the technology or like all these other things? My mind didn't even go to the golf ball. And I think if you, what you said, unpack that and just that's why they're going after the golf ball, because it makes the biggest change in how far you can hit it. Right. Like that's just really eye opening for people. And the other thing too about Tiger, I didn't know that. I knew that he used the solid core golf ball. Right. But everybody goes back to he was working out. He was just so much longer. Like all these things, it's like, why? Like obviously other people work out and play golf and it's Tiger. He's the best of all time, at least in my opinion. But biggest thing was the golf ball. And nobody, do you ever hear people talk about that? Really? Like, it's not on these documentaries and all this stuff. It's about how he woke up at 3 a.m. lifting weights, doing all these things. He's using similar clubs to everybody else. It was the golf ball.
Obviously, he's has more skill than any golfer that's ever played the game.
Of course.
So I'm not taking away from his ability. But I do think that having superior equipment at the time definitely played a big factor into his ability. I also think, you know, the term COR, coefficient of restitution, that's what the USGA measures to see how hot a golf club can be. That's what they, that's the number that they measure on, say, a driver. The center of the sweet spot of a driver has been maximized for more than 20 years. The center.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're talking about aspects of making a golf ball go farther, absolutely golf club technology, the sweet spots have gotten larger and technology has added to the moment of inertia, the amount of twisting that's going to be on a golf club, et cetera. But controlling the spin of a golf ball matters just as much about the ball as it does about the club that you're hitting it with.
So Tony, I know you know a lot about this and I kind of want to unpack this because this is one of the questions my buddies that are getting into golf ask all the time. What's the best driver to get this year? Like, they're always going after the best driver. And I always tell them you should go to Second Swing or whatever. And like, you don't have to hit all the brand new drivers. Like, how many people are still playing we talked about the Sim 2.
It was
right.
Dude, Colin Morikawa is currently playing the TaylorMade Sim.
Yeah, the original Sim.
3 generations old.
I think Matt Wolf's playing the M2 right now.
Yeah. So
and so you see these guys that have these drivers that have been in their bags for a really long time. It's like, why aren't they using the newest technology? So it's like, because it's not always about the quote unquote newest technology. Like, there are certain drivers, whether it's for somebody's game, like, you're not always going to get more distance and hit it straighter, no matter what commercial you see on the Golf Channel or NBC on a Sunday morning. Like, you need to go find what club is going to work for you and like how it looks at address. And you need to probably mess a little bit more with lie angles and the certain type of ball that you use, as opposed to just going, oh, the new driver's out this year, I need to go get that because it goes further and straighter. Cause it's just not true.
I think a big piece too is consistency with the ball that you decide to play. If you are a type of guy that or gal that is just playing any ball that you find while you're out walking around and you got a Top Flight and you got a Max Fly and you got a Pro V1X and you got a Vice Pro and you got a Bridgestone and you have them all in your bag and you just reach in and grab one, you shouldn't expect very similar results. You should expect very wide results.
Well, and I guess I'll go next. Sorry, Johnny, if we were going clockwise here, but one of my biggest, issues with kind of like golf marketing and technology and all this stuff, because quite frankly, I got sucked into it about, I don't know, 5 years ago when I really started getting into golf. It was that PXG clubs go further. They're like the best technology. Went in there, got bit for a pair of PXGs. I played PXGs for like 2-3 years. And then
the least surprising thing ever, but
yeah,
for PXG.
I fell for PXG. Yeah. And
that is just, I'm not surprised at all by that.
No, you can say it again 3 times if you want. I didn't know what I didn't know. I knew nothing about like golf and technology, like all this stuff. Didn't do any research, went in and I was, you know, striping the 8-iron, like 170. I'm like, oh my God, these things are amazing. And then somebody told me, like, have you checked the lofts and lies of them? And like my 8-iron was basically lofted like a 6-iron. And my whole world, like, I was crushed. I was blown. I was just like,
this is so sad.
I was like, dude, it has nothing to do with the technology. It's a fucking 6-iron.
Yeah. That's
like, kind, I'm that's hitting a 6-iron.
But I mean, like, there's been technological innovations in irons in terms of, like, for example, the hollow bodied irons. Like, the P790 was definitely like a breakthrough design in terms of like an iron with a hollow body and they have a piece of foam in it, so it impacts the golf ball differently. There's more jumps, spring to the iron. Yeah. So there's like, but I don't like, I wouldn't say that like those aren't necessarily breakthrough, I don't know, technologies, right? I mean, they're interesting and cool, but like, yeah, it's not like if you go buy P790s you're gonna shoot better scores.
Yeah. I think like when talking about actual technology that's changed, like the biggest one, in my opinion, Johnny, we talked about this a little before, like talk about why people are playing five woods and seven woods. And for me, it was like the hybrid. I don't know when it came out. Right. But all of a sudden hybrids like, you know, came out and hit the market. And it was like, man, these are great. Well, I was like, they completely changed the way you look at a 5-iron, 4-iron, 3-iron, you know, back in the days when they would play like driving irons, you start to have more loft, get the, just so much easier to hit, right? A lot more forgiving. Like those types of breakthroughs, I think, are the things that actually change the game and are probably actually doing something that's different and give you a little bit different look and feel. And like, I know for me, I just took the 5-hybrid out, but I play the 4-hybrid and 3-hybrid now from the Bing solely because one, I can't hit a 4-iron because I'm not good enough. But like the 4-hybrid, it goes higher up in the air. I'm able to stop it. And it's a lot more forgiving, mm-hmm. right? It's a completely different club from the 4-iron and it's easier for me to hit. And I've seen a lot of guys out of where we play and second swing buying those hybrids now. It's a better club and more forgiving if you can hit it.
I mean, I think obviously same thing with a lot of these different things we're talking about, but like hybrids have been around in one shape or form since like the early 2000s. I mean, the first TaylorMade Rescue or whatever they were called back then. And I also don't want to take away from the technology that has been created and has been advanced in the golf world, because while maybe the four of us sitting here don't necessarily, obviously everybody wants to hit a little further, but like you went in and you hit PXGs and the ball went further, right? I'm willing to bet that 8-iron that you hit probably flew higher than your traditional 6-iron. So that is one thing that has changed in golf technology, is that golf balls and irons have been designed to hit the ball higher, but they have, you know, reduced loft, so they go further. I just think golfers need to go in and identify what type of clubs makeup is best for their game. Where, you know, there's some people that hit it a lot farther, probably adding some loft and hitting it a little more controlled so you have a little bit more backspin. That's probably not going to hurt you. But there is also people that have a little bit slower swing speed that need to launch it higher, that need to just try to maximize their distance. That's what they need. And so I think it's just a balance in your golf game.
And Tony, you said it earlier, but we would be remiss as a podcast to not shout out the launch monitor as a massive innovation. That's really, fundamentally changed the game of golf. And here's the linear progression there. So launch monitors come out, what happens next? So people start understanding their club delivery numbers, right? People start optimizing their numbers. So you can see, okay, this is doing this. If I hit it, you know, up on the driver, for example, understanding dynamic loft and spin and all this stuff, right? Well, what it's led to ultimately has been the chase of speed in golf. And then out of this speed race, which is really an arms race that's occurring right now. I mean, if you go, I'm not kidding. If you go to any of these collegiate golf tournaments, these guys are all mid 170s, 180 ball speed.
For sure.
They all are.
It's going to be crazy in 10 years to see.
They all are. And so an offshoot of this speed, you know, sort of chase, the arms race, has been speed training, right? Which is like you're getting into like the Ripstick stuff, the Golf Forever stuff, a whole fitness industry that's spawning around training golfers for how to swing the club. I mean, I remember coming up in baseball when velocity, you know, the radar gun became a thing, right? And I think there was radar guns definitely before my time, but like how hard you threw was like a big deal, right? And then there was a wave of training that sort of came out where you started working with younger and younger kids on biomechanics and training deceleration. And, you know, like my brother's a pitching coach. My brother's like, look, most of these kids, you know, 90% of these kids, I can get them 3 to 5 miles an hour with just like, here's the playbook. This is what you do, right? That's happening in golf now, where there's a playbook out there that's been built for how to get stronger. And it's not like, you know, like the reason I'm saying this is innovative and breakthrough is because like, you know, 20 years ago when Tiger one of the things that led to all of Tiger's back issues was like he was bench pressing, you know, 300 pounds. And he was like doing, you know, workouts, right? Because he was kind of one of the first ones that was like, I want to be athletic, but he wasn't training like the right way, right? Like nowadays, there's all sorts of plyometrics and just Tony knows probably way more about this than I do, but body specific, speed specific stuff that's come out, even to promote longevity in golfers so that we can enjoy the game for a longer period of time. And I think that's all been an offshoot of the launch monitor.
I agree with you for sure on the fact that fitness has played a massive role in the game of golf. I mean, I'm not going to name any golfers out there, but you just think in your head about golfers that were playing the game 70s, 80s, 90s. Of course, there were some amazingly talented athletes. You look at like a Jack Nicklaus or an Arnold Palmer back in their prime, and they're ripped. But there's definitely some guys out there that were not so ripped.
Yeah.
John Daly.
Me today, for example. Has fitness impacted my golf game? No, it hasn't.
As you were saying this, in my mind, I was trying to go through like the top 20 in my head, and I don't think I can think of one that's like out of shape. Just took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say Shane Lowry's like maybe the one.
Yeah, but he's probably like a baseball guy.
I guarantee you, he's got like a really strong. Yeah,
I know. Really strong. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, 10 years ago, you could kind of think of guys that were bigger, like the whole John Daly can't pull fat. But like nowadays, it's like all these guys they're jacked, they're ripped, they're in really good shape, they're working out all the time, and even the ones that kind of aren't still are doing something.
Yeah, I mean, it just reiterates what Andy brought up about the college kids and the game in the game today is it's no surprise that every kid out there is, you know, 175 plus ball speed because they're all amazing athletes.
Yeah.
They're just different types of athletes that are playing the game of golf now than ever have played before.
So true.
Well, I'll transition that sec too, but I was just going to say like Siegel always talks about how he needs to get longer. We were out there playing the other day and he's pumping it 310. And I'm just thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, this kid's out here hitting it 310, hitting like, I don't know, 12 of 14 fairways. And he's saying he needs to get longer to get like to be a good golfer. I'm just thinking in my head, like, man, 10 years is just,
well, he's a very good golfer.
Like, he's a professional golfer.
Oh, I mean, professionally.
Yeah.
To
be on tour. Like his goal. Yeah,
he's like, I got to get longer. I'm like, man, that's just crazy to think about. Yeah. Right. Like that's what he's focusing on.
Yeah.
The other thing too, like taking a step away from just golf balls, golf clubs, all these things, kind of like a little more fun thing to talk about. So like, dude, my rangefinder I have this year, distance, slope, wind direction, right? Like think about the things that just technology can do. And you've got guys walking out on the course with these push carts that like, yeah, you can do with remote control. And now they're just following you.
Yeah.
Like when you put it in your bag. Yeah. I just got one.
Did you?
I just got one. Well, cause I want to walk more. I want to walk more. And, John Lewis, shout out John Lewis, had gotten one. And I was like, dude, after a couple weeks, you gotta let me know, you know, how you like, you like it. I'm going to have to get one because I can only trust so many people. And he goes, dude, best golf purchase I've ever made in my entire life. I was like, done. Send me the link. So I got it coming. Man,
might be like second to you for the number of golf clubs purchased too.
Yeah. And so I trust John. And so just like, there's a lot of cool things that I think have made the game more enjoyable for people that want to play more, you know, like there's the range finders, like shout out Bushnell. I'm like a big Bushnell guy with all of my, I think I got three speakers, two range finders, just the technology in terms of like what makes the game more fun and a lot more enjoyable for people to play that are trying to get into it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into that as well. I'm a big fan.
Even like, Arcos and like the sensor stuff where you can track your stats. I mean, I think like apps and stat tracking has definitely been a huge one.
Shout out Decade.
Decade, right? We've talked about Decade, but you know, at the end of the day, like I do think that like there are pros and cons to this wave of technological innovation. The pros are that people are better at hitting the golf ball than they've ever been. There's no debating that. The cons are, I think people might be Well, I don't think people are enjoying the game less, but I do think that like the art side of golf has changed a bit. And you hear some people talking about this, complaining about this, that are tour pros, right? Like that guy who's got this, the best short game ever. Well, you know, look, hitting it 360 kind of statistically just negates that advantage. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's an element of that. And the last thing I want to mention too, is I do think that we have had a very interesting wave, in the States here in terms of golf course design, architecture, environmental architecture around golf courses. You know, you look at the Bandon Dunes of the world, you look at Sand Valley, you know, there are a lot of golf courses being built in the US right now. And I think that's really cool. And they're being built, actually, the new golf course is being built very similar to the old golf course, which I love, right? Like make it fun for people, find your ball. The days of the tree lined, tight fairway, tiny greens golf course, I think are going away more and more. You know, I think the last 10 years we've heard of course, have you heard of it, that have done tree removal? I mean, many.
Yeah, they all do.
Restoration type of work.
If you want to hashtag grow the game, you better make it enjoyable for people to play. 100%. I mean, no one's going to have fun going out there and just hacking in between trees 100%. And punching out all the time.
Yeah. Shout out Hazeltine.
So true. So I want to mention one thing too, while you're on that topic, Andy, because I think it makes a lot of sense. You took a few of the things I was going to talk about in saying the piece about launch monitors and, you know, some of the simulator technology we get to get statistics surrounding your golf swing. But I think something aside from also golf fitness, I think is massive, but another technology that wasn't really designed for golf, but we're seeing, you know, the byproduct of it being used in golf is all the technology that we have to visualize golf courses now. So I think it's changed a lot. And I've even seen it in a few different instances, like you're talking about, Andy, building new golf courses. I'm pretty sure the gentleman that's building the new golf course at Sand Valley is doing it within one of the video games now. So had actually seen a video story about another golfer. He might've been a Korn Ferry guy. I forget exactly who it was, but he was getting ready to play an event and he played that course in the PGA golf game. So I think the way that we're able to visualize and approach golf courses now is so different, where now we have drone videos and LIDAR data and satellite data and imagery that we can go and pick apart, whether it's, you know, you're just at your house before you go play a course and you can analyze how far is it to this bunker? Where do I want to land this in the fairway to get the best kick? There's so many small edges that we can get from technology that wasn't designed for golf now if we use it to our advantage. So, and another kind of byproduct of that too, that goes along with your rangefinder point, Jordan, is the watch that I use now, I can find out how far it is to cover a bunker or to cover a water hazard. And there's just so many different ways that we can approach a golf course now, especially a course that you've never been to or don't know anything about. You can know everything about it before you get there now. Mm-hmm. So it's I think pretty cool to see not only how far technology just in general has supported the growth of golf, where it's golf fitness, studying golf courses and architecture and things like that. But it's just fun to see that technology used in different ways to support the golf game, whether you're making a course or going to play one. So I think that definitely needs to be mentioned.
How nails is it that, like, if you go to a, like Troy Burns, a really good example, and you pull off of the 8 green, you know, the par 3, and you're driving up to the 9 tee, right when you pull up, your little screen goes ding, and you can order a sandwich at the turn, man. That's cool. So nails.
That is pretty awesome.
Quick call to action for the industry. Young disruptors, young innovators that are out there. I'm going to challenge the industry to come up with a really reliable, really good, very accurate golf simulator setup for less than $1,000. Make golf simulators affordable. Can we do that? Can we not have it? You have to buy a used Hyundai Sonata to get a good simulator. Young, it's $30,000-$40,000.
I will say prices are coming down.
They're coming down.
I don't know. Under $1,000 is going to be really hard.
I'm just saying that's the next wave that I'm looking at. And I'm going to, I know we have a lot of young listeners. I know we have a lot of listeners in the Philippines and other areas of the world.
Global audience.
I'm looking for the young folks that want to be disruptive, that want to change the world. Make me a simulator. Do it now.
I mean, we know that you're an
active, make it affordable.
We know that you're an active user of the Oculus technology.
That was, you know, I was going to shout out VR. It's a good call out, Tony. It really is. You know, I can play golf in my basement using virtual reality. And is it accurate? No, it's not accurate at all. Are the graphics good? They sure aren't good at all.
Not yet.
Is there going to be a future there? I believe so.
It's fun as hell.
You know,
it's
Minnesota winter, you want to step out and play Windsong with your buddies? Maybe I could throw on a VR headset and you could throw on a VR headset and you could throw on a VR headset and you could too. And we could have a foursome and we could walk the course and we could make all our normal motions and it would produce, you know, all this, you know, I'm going to challenge another young man to do that too.
Dude, it's more a woman. It's fun. It's fun.
Or a woman. That's fair. Probably going to be a woman really. Cause the young men of today's generation, they're all soft.
So, very soft.
But to me, I think that those are two things that, like, looking ahead the next 10 years, I would like to see real movement around.
Do we think anything, and we'll wrap up because I know we're almost at time. Do we think there's, that was amazing. Do we think there's anything that's significantly going to change over the next 10 years, whether it's golf ball, golf club, some type of technology?
Golf, like, ball will change.
Do you think we're going to see physically longer drivers? Like, I know we've already seen.
You know, I know
they're limited. Shortening it.
What's the new driver Bryson uses?
Crank. He uses more than 46 inches.
The crank. Yeah. So what is it about the crank?
It just can handle his speed. It doesn't just spin.
Yeah.
More stability, I think.
They're in the essence of reducing distance off the tee. The powers that be, the USGA and RNA, have limited the length of a golf club. So it used to be 48 inches. Now it's 46.
46 is the max. Who's going to be the first person you think? It won't be me. It might be me. Show up to the course with a crank driver.
I don't think anyone, because I think either. You have to have 140 mile an hour club head speed to make that driver work.
But to be fair, within the next 10 years, we might see that.
Innovation could be a tailwind that could significantly increase your club head speed. We talked about that tonight. You got to put the work in though. So
in there.
All right.
All right.
That was fun.
Thanks, fun.
Folks. See ya. Bye.